Until recently, you may not have heard of Debado Francis Carré, but he just won architecture's highest honor, the Pritzker Prize. In fact, Carré is the first black recipient in the 43 years of this prize. And when he got the news, he says he cried.
And I'm still crying. And I lost my voice. I couldn't speak. Wow, it's me. It's Pritzker.
Tom Pritzker chairs the prize committee. He called Carré equally architect and servant, improving the lives and experiences of countless citizens in a region of the world that is at times forgotten. Carré's designs are found in Germany, the UK, Chicago, but most of his creations are sprinkled across the African continent. They include schools and clinics, most of which are in his native Burkina Faso. And it's there that we begin our conversation. You grew up in a small village in Burkina Faso, no electricity, no clean water. And at the age of 7, you became the first in your community to go to school. And I understand it was very hot. Did that get you first thinking about architecture? Maybe I can grow up and build schools?
Oh, yes, definitely. For 2 major reasons. When I left my community, I was 7. So it was the end of my childhood. Your comfort zone, you know, your family, your everything. And then sitting in the classroom with more than 100 other kids, it was so hot. And it was dark inside the classrooms while you have the bright light that nature are giving us. And I didn't want to accept this. So already a student, I decided to go back and build a school in my village.
Well, I understand you went to Germany to study woodwork and then architecture. And as you describe, you launched your own firm with offices in Berlin and Burkina Faso. And I want to ask you about this school building that you built in your home country. To cool it down, I read that you have clay pots that are sawed in half in the ceiling to bring circles of light and also to attract the hot air upwards. Tell us about the design and the inspiration.
You know, very simple. How do you create a passive ventilation system in a classroom without using any kind of energy than what you get from nature? So I created a roof truss to elevate, you know, the metal shade from the enclosing classroom boxes. Sometimes I put pots that are made in the village to create openings for light and ventilation. And also using the most available material, such as clay, to create classrooms that are so comfortable and inspiring for my people, you know? I didn't just want to create classrooms. I wanted to create beauty for the most underserved group of populations.
Well, and as I think about you going home to build schools, I think about my own grandmother. She was born in China more than a century ago. It was so poor. And she went to school run by American missionaries in China. And then, you know, she went back to the city and she built a school, but especially a school for girls. Why are schools and medical clinics that you have designed, why are they so important?
I was born in the village where all of this is missing. And that is why I started to build schools and to build healthcare centers, but also because education is the basement for everything. My father sent me to school. He wanted me to learn to read and write. And today, I am an architect because of that. So education gives you a solid basement, and then you can then grow later professionally.
Here in the United States, architecture is often discussed by wealthy people at cocktail parties with fancy drinks. It's kind of at the top of Maslow's hierarchy. It's the province of the privileged people. That's how it seems. But your work and your message is entirely different.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm coming from a community where the survival of the entire community depending from how you hold together, how you contribute. And so when I had the chance to study architecture, I wanted to make things better for even those that have nothing, you know? Also, comfort is a right for those that cannot afford. My approach is to use architecture to serve. And I'm so able to keep pushing architecture at that level. And, you know, with the Pritzker, I mean, because of that. You don't know how many million of young people see hope, to see that you can be in a little tiny village somewhere in the world, and the Prescott jury will find you. I'm telling you the truth. They found me. And the example of your grandmother is touching to me. And it shows it is because people build, starting by single individuals. That's why we should not just wait for someone else that come and do that for us. And that we often do in Africa. If you can start, just start. You should dream big and push your dream forward. Just do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the architecture profession has long been an overwhelmingly white one.
Yeah.
What does it mean to be the first Black winner of the Pritzker Prize for your work, for your community, for the next generation of architects?
I feel a sense of big responsibility, but I see a lot of hope. And so the profession being seen as white is potentially the reason that, for example, in the US, you have to really find someone that has enough resources to let you build, and people will discover your talent, which is often difficult. That's why most that having the resources are connected to the majority in the US that are white, because economically it is an exclusion. But for Africa, mm-hmm. for example, we have no architecture schools, you know, we have very few. And so what I see with the Prisca, I see there will be a lot of young people now that will run to study architecture, you know?
Yeah. Well, you clearly value symbolism in your designs. And you're working on a new parliamentary building in Benin, I understand, and it's inspired by the palaver tree. This is a massive tree with a wide trunk. What is the significance of this tree?
Yeah, especially in West Africa, I will pronounce it in French, l'arbre à palaver. Is the palaver tree, literally translated as the tree under which people come to gather together, to meet, to discuss daily life. That is where the community meet, about open democracy. And trying to introduce that kind of symbol in the building that represent a nation is key to African nations that are often looking for example. The West is often saying that what we own in Africa is primitive. And so the pity is the African elite try to replicate Western model, but often forgetting that the Western model also have their origin rooted deeply in Western history. And so putting that kind of symbols on public buildings, I am raising, without knowing it, African pride. At the beginning, it was a provocation, because if you come and try to say, hey, let's do things learning from our tradition, people will say, oh, he's primitive. We want modernity. We want to do like the US. But you don't have the resources that you have in America, you know? Why you don't go back and learn from your culture, from your tradition, and at the same time to raise people's pride?
Yeah.
That is why I'm using that kind of element into my architecture.
Well, finally, can I ask you about a project in your home country? In 2014, there was an uprising that toppled the government, and you were commissioned to design a replacement of the parliament building in Burkina Faso. Recently, we witnessed another military coup there. So as you think about symbols and design, what do you want Burkina Faso's new National Assembly building to be and to represent?
So first of all, they wanted me to create something that also hosts a museum and a memorial for those who lost their life during the revolution. And I designed a pyramid, you know, and this pyramid will not just be contemplative. I want the Burkina people, the Ouagadougou people, to climb on the top of that pyramid, to use it as a public space. But now the elite couldn't agree, and it was put on hold. But I said at the same time, I want the building to be designed the way that in case the next revolution comes, they will not burn it down. People will take ownership of it and they will protect it, because it will be their building, instead of creating something with fences that is guarded by gun. No, the people should guard it. We need something to inspire African youth, and then we will have a greater future, you know. And my work is not just to create something that just have a function. It must have a meaning. well thought, embodied in the spirit and the culture of the people.
Debedo Francis Carré is this year's winner of the Pritzker Prize, the highest honor in architecture. He's the first Black architect to receive this award in its 43-year history. Mr. Carré, thank you so much, and congratulations once again.
Thank you very much. And Africa is winning. Africa is coming. Yeah. And of course, all of our friends and brothers, white and Black in the U.S., thank you so much.
And we have photos of Carré's architecture at hereandnow.org.